Hello, Brad. How are you today?
Hey, Ryan. I'm perfect.
That is a fact, but I don't know if you're going to be perfect after we have our discussion about your latest article. The 21-day challenge is supposed to be for you and me. I don't know if you're supposed to be challenging the entire Christian church.
Uh-oh, is that what I did?
Well, if I look at your words, they seem rather challenging. They suggest that you're throwing out a gauntlet. These words that I see here say Christianity has made a mockery of it, and I'm assuming that you're referring to the scripture, that anyone who believes enough can and will be who Jesus was as a man and do what he did. So how do they make a mockery of it?
Well, let me put it this way. How many individuals who label themselves Christians do you know who have the ability to do much of anything?
Well, I've known a few in my time, not very many, I have to admit. Most of them tended to fall into the category of pastor or minister. They had, in essence, taken their faith to a different level than your average guy sitting in the pews. Now, they were wearing those labels, though. I have to say that they were taking on a title of spiritual authority, but that title of spiritual authority seemed to help them to walk in a bit of authority too. So that was my experience.
So what do you make of that?
Well, what I make of that is it seems that very few people in the Christian church actually walk in the authority or in the name of Jesus Christ.
So why do you want to make a big issue of what I wrote?
Well, you're saying that Christianity has made a mockery of it. So you're kind of saying, well, if you wear the label Christian, then you also are painted with that same brush. And I have to confess, I don't typically make it a habit of denigrating or knocking anybody's spiritual belief system. I don't care whether they're Muslim, Buddhist, Hare Krishna. It doesn't matter to me. And so when you are saying that Christianity has made a mockery of a particular teaching that Jesus gave through John, then I have to say, well, hold on a second. How are they making a mockery of it? In what way is Jesus being mocked or this scripture being mocked?
That's interesting.
I really think that people want to know. In what way does Christianity make a mockery of this scripture?
Can I come at it sideways for you?
By all means. You usually do.
Are you saying that I don't answer questions directly? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that I don't think you're going to be as direct as you are in your article because, as you claim in your article, it's not you doing the writing, it's spirit. And so when I actually end up talking to you in person, you don't always bring spirit along, and I'd actually like to hear this portion. Where's the feistiness that came up with Christianity has made a mockery of it?
Well, the word preponderance comes to me. The preponderance of the evidence of those who sit in pews and those who stand behind pulpits, the preponderance of evidence is that not very many believe or teach what he said as believing or having any realistic belief that he meant what he said in that regard.
Well, I agree with you because I can't say that I've ever had a pastor or a priest or a reverend ever teach on this particular scripture. And I do remember many of them saying that Jesus was unique and the only perfect man. So I agree with that statement that you just made and that's typically the message, but I'm not quite sure how you get from Christianity making a mockery and the truth that you just gave me.
Wow. Well, help me, Ryan.
Well, in what way does the church mock that anyone who believes enough can and will do what Jesus did? How does it mock that? The church I went to...
By teaching the opposite.
So you're saying here that when the church teaches that Jesus was a one and only, a one of a kind, that they are automatically cutting out this particular passage, that anyone who believes enough can and will do what Jesus did.
I'm saying that that is the apparent net effect. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it doesn't, but I deeply believe it does, and where I stand on that, I think, is when people who come out of it are able to do far more as they begin to believe.
So I don't know about that, because my experience is a little bit different. My experience within the church, I laid hands on the sick and they were healed. I cast out demons. I spoke in other tongues. Yeah, and my connection with Source was very strong, even while I was in the church. Now, granted, I will confess that I had some limiting beliefs that I picked up while I was at the church, but I still walked in, while I was going to the church, walked in the miracle, power, and presence of Christ. And I saw that behavior mimicked or displayed by many of the so-called pastors. Not all of them, but many of the so-called pastors in the church. As a matter of fact, I received healing of Crohn's disease in the church.
Would you say that that church was a minority among the majority of churches that you were familiar with?
Absolutely. I would totally agree that that church was in the minority. Yeah.
I rest my case.
Okay, but you're saying Christian...
That particular church did not make a mockery of that particular... of those particular words of Jesus. You use the word mocking. I don't say that the Christian church mocks. What I said is they make a mockery of it by their action, and
or in this case by their inaction.
Yeah, and I want to jump over those traces because that's only one of the things.
Okay.
Another favorite thing of mine that the church, as we call the church, with Christianity, organized Christianity, does in defiance of what Jesus said has to do with hierarchy. He said very clearly, he said, don't let anybody call you by any title that implies spiritual authority or superiority.
Okay. I happen to have attended a church that also adhered to that as well, in Florida, as a matter of fact. And they insisted that no one, even the guy standing up in front, shouldn't be called pastor. He was brother.
And
this was a large church. There were, my gosh, at least 2,000 people there at any given service, and they had 3 or 4 services on the weekend. So, you know, so not all churches in Christianity mock these types of things. Some of them adhere to this, some of them adhere to that, and they're not perfect, just like me and you and...
Oh, hey, and I'm the first one to admit I am far from perfect.
I know. I really appreciate your honesty and forthright about it. And so when I saw you saying that Christianity has made a mockery of it, what concerns me about the statement is that it seems that, or it could be interpreted by our readers, that you are painting the entire movement called Christianity with a particular brush. And I'm going to say to you that there are exceptions within the organized church that don't make a mockery of this particular passage in the Bible.
And with that statement you just made, I wholeheartedly agree.
Oh, well, great. And I that's perfect. Let's just leave it there. Then there's no point in beating anybody up.
Well, let's just rewrite the article.
No. I disagree totally. I believe that if the Source is giving you this material, who are we to step on it? That's called suppression.
Oh, very good. I think once I told you that Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor told me after I'd spoken at his church, he says, Cullen, I just read this morning where a prophet got sawed in half. But if you keep up what you're doing, you're going to get yours.
Well, I guess you probably made that guy feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, no, he just said that I made some of the saints, was the term he used, I made some of the saints uncomfortable. By the way, it wasn't all probably 3 months later that he left the church and took a position as a roving, I'm going to use the term evangelist, with a charismatic Lutheran group, and began to speak more vehemently than you've ever heard me against the use of such things as terms such as pastor or bishop, or he'd even pick apart stuff like elder or whatever. We're all brothers, we're all sisters, and we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit at the time we operate in them. And if somebody ordaining, some human body ordaining some man in any one of those things, I'm going to go back to the word I would use, and that's a mockery. And but anyway, I've seen so many come out that I feel pretty comfortable in what I've written, that maybe some others will get the message and to walk into some real power. By the way, that's the whole point. And what made people, I think, gravitate toward the Exodus, some were forced, was the book I wrote, Treasure Chest. It had that effect.
Well, and good news, we're going to be re-releasing Treasure Chest in a very short period of time. But let's move on to more things that are important in your article. You quote again here what Jesus, or claiming to do what Jesus did and more, and we talk about that a lot. And I'm not quite sure that we've ever actually, in our conversations, defined what does more really mean. I mean, more than healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, what more can someone expect out of this relationship? What's more?
In quantity.
In quantity, so more frequency, or more occurrences, or...
Well, you know what's interesting to me? I'm just sitting here thinking about something, and I've never, never thought of it quite in this way before. But, you know, I have thought of it and written a little bit about Jesus had self-imposed limits. And I saw that very clearly once. But, you know, he did have limits, and he imposed those limits on himself. And what's interesting is, we've reversed it in our thinking that we are limited. Oh, we're only humans. But Jesus was this mythologized greatness that Christianity has made of him. And frankly, you know how I feel about Jesus. I mean, the difficulty becomes when we don't look at what he said about what we're supposed to be. That our destiny is to be basically equals.
Okay, joint heirs, I think is the word, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So the more then, it's not just limited to frequency. It could be something totally different. So, for example, let's just say that space travel was something that our Creator wanted us to have. That's more, isn't it? But receiving divine knowledge and information from Source to be able to move people or physically expand our charge to multiply or spread our whatever, you know? I mean, isn't that more? Would that be more too?
Sure, why not?
Without limit.
Without.
Without any limits. So what Jesus did and anything that you currently consider a limitation beyond that?
Well, if you're going to take what he said literally, I happen to. You know, you're free, and anyone else is free not to take it literally, but when he said nothing would be impossible for anyone that believed enough, I believe that. I've had too many proofs of so much different. You know, we just had an email from a guy in Washington this morning who said thanks for, you know, keep up the good work and all that, and he asked for us to stand in prayer with him. And what he said was that, about bugging our father, bugging dad. He said, once I realized that I could keep bugging and keep bugging daddy until he did something, the point I'm making there is that that's where we need to begin to get our faith. It's where you've gotten to get your faith, and that's been a recent explosion just by pounding and pounding and pounding. And he made that comment. Did you read his comment?
I did, yeah. And that is a huge breakthrough, and I believe you made it secret number one when we did Seven Secrets.
Yeah, well, and that's really, I guess, if I'm going to look at this article that came to me this morning, I'd have to say that's all I'm really trying to do is get be a burr under the saddle of people who are complacent, who are sitting on a pew or standing behind a pew pulpit, I don't care which, and doing not much of any excitement of what Jesus said we would do and be if we truly believe. That's, to me, that's how I interpret the article. You said I'm making a general attack, and you're probably right. I did, but you know, I become a lunatic waving his arms. You know, it's why they sawed prophets in half.
They gave you a soapbox, right? When they asked to leave the church, they gave you as a retirement present a soapbox.
I had some guy that decided that he wanted to start up a website just so he could feature my writings. I think his name's Ryan Bruce. I'm not sure. So there's I got a new soapbox. Come on every few days and spout off.
Back to your original conversation. In the article, you say that it's time for people to step away from the pew in which they've been sitting and take the words of Christ more seriously. And you got that based on asking. And I'm assuming that you're asking, what is it you want me to say, Daddy? Is that one of the things that you're asking?
Well, absolutely.
And so Daddy's saying, well, you need to tell your brothers and sisters to step away from the pew in which you're sitting. Now, are you saying everyone needs to step away from the pew, or who?
No, I entered this system of belief via the church. I learned an awful lot. You said earlier that you had it as well. I learned a lot sitting in the pew. But there's a time when you got to get off of your pew. You know, it's like a little baby. You know, you sit there in a cradle and that's fine. But there comes a time when you got to crawl.
Well, I believe that one of the apostles mentioned something about stop drinking the milk and start eating the meat of faith.
Yeah, there we go.
He basically said if you haven't gone beyond the birth, death, resurrection, and Holy Spirit, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember which one it was that said that, but I do remember reading that you got to get beyond the milk and start eating the meat. And what you're offering, I think, to most of our readers and listeners, is some meat.
You know, when I was in the church as a leader, as a pastor, when I was in that position, I used to attempt to look better and look bigger and look more knowledgeable and all the rest of that stuff. And I learned the basis of my strength and what happens that opens me up as a vessel is to do the thing that you took me on about 6-8 weeks ago, which is beat on my chest and say, you know, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. And boy, did you resist that for a long time. By the way, have you changed in your...
Every day I'm beating on my chest like that. Every
you
day.
You see what a klutz you are, do you?
Hey, I'm open to correction and I'm willing to learn. You know what? Your responses have, in essence, answered the rest of the questions that I had about your article. And the way you've responded, okay, I get it.
You're being easy again. Every time you get easy, I get nervous.
When I first read your article, it felt like an attack. Because you say things like, we'll sit in pews and listen to powerless drivel. Or even worse, stand behind pulpits and spout it. And I get where you're coming from now. Okay, your story about the pastor, when you were a pastor in the church, that you used to feel that you were required to know more, do more, say more, etc., etc. I get it now. I have context in which to understand what the statement is.
So do you think the people who are going to read it, besides you, old learned publisher, are going to get it as well?
Well, I think so. If they just listened to you talk, I heard what you had to say, and it made perfect sense to me. And what I really hope is that it is a burr, not necessarily in the saddle, but in the pew. What do you call those things? A splinter. A splinter in the pew.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
You can become a splinter in the pew of every church sitter going, because I think all of them need a little poke to stand up and take a look at whether or not they've actually read that passage and how they're allowing it to bring fruit or come to fruition in their life.
Hey, can I make a quote?
Sure.
Of my dearly beloved, whom you know, she said, I don't know how you can forget that people get a lot of comfort out of going to church. And so I'm about ready to blast her on that one. But I'm hearing listen to her. And so and she kept on. And what her end result was, she said, they use it as a crutch and they need it as a crutch. And she said, you need to encourage them to come away from that crutch. That, their leg works now. Put down the crutch and walk.
Mm.
Oh, wow. That was a great statement. So if your leg ain't broke, quit sitting. There. How's that?
I agree. 100%. Now, that is good advice. Very good advice, and I love the metaphor. Thanks, Brad. I really appreciate you taking the time to explain and expand on what you've written here. It takes all of the thorns out, and I know now that you're coming from a place of love and a place of experience that you want people to stop leaning when they don't have to. You want to lean on their Father, not on the church as a system.
Yeah, go direct.
Go direct. And I'm with you 100% on that. I believe exactly what you're saying. Go direct.
Hey, we gotta go. I got a line I gotta take.
Goodbye.